turn to Second Chronicles, chapter 20. Hope you had a good and restful afternoon. We've enjoyed our time here and already been blessed by you and your fellowship and your heart for the Lord. But also I've been thankful for the Bible Baptist Church Uber services. Big Brother Victor picked us up from the airport and fed us yesterday, a nice meal at a diner. And today, Brother Rob and his family, they took us out to Stop 20 Diner. You can't come here to Elmont without going to Stop 20 Diner. And then as well, tomorrow, Brother Emerson will give us a ride to one of the train stations so we can be able to get into Manhattan. So we appreciate the Uber services there and taking us around. And we do appreciate you and your family, your church family, but also the pastor and his family. And we are praying for his safety and that he'd come back refreshed and ready to go as well. And as our brother asked is earlier, would you please pray for us as we go out and minister? And we want to see people saved. We set up what's called a prayer station, and we try to encourage people to stop and pray. And then after we pray for their need, then we give them the gospel. And the majority of people that stop to let us pray with them will let us go through the gospel with them. And it's usually just a matter of they have enough time. And it's amazing how many people we can see saved and do see saved. There have been many that from the church here that's helped out throughout the years. And if you're interested, please see me afterwards. It'll be Tuesday during the day. It's usually from 10 a.m. We get to our spot at that point, set up and everything by 10 a.m. and then go through about 4 in the afternoon. And if you can stay for just a little bit or a half a day or whatever time frame, we would take your help. We'd explain to you what to do and how to jump in. And it's going to be a whole group of us. And so we'll have 2 different stations, one in Manhattan, one in Brooklyn. If you're interested in that, I can give you more details afterwards. But please certainly pray for us. Speaking of prayer, and Second Chronicles chapter 20, we have a prayer, and a tremendous prayer, when a miracle is needed. Have you ever needed a miracle? No doubt you have. Anything that's beyond your own power, and you need God to work. In Second Chronicles 20, we see that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, has a whole coalition of armies that are coming against them. They are more powerful, they're greater in number, they're better armies, and they're coming to fight against Judah. He gathers everybody together and to be able to have a feast. To fast. And to be able to seek the Lord in prayer. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So now he goes ahead and gathers everyone together, proclaims a fast to say, we're going to fast to pray, to ask God to intervene and help us. And in verse 5 begins, he's going to start here in his prayer in verse 6. But verse 5 says this, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God, our fathers, art not thou our God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might to, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed Abraham, and to thy friend forever? Verse 8, and they dwelt therein, and built the sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us, as a sword, or judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then wilt thou hear and help. Now look, if you would, at verse 12. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. He did not know what to do, but he said, our eyes are upon you. We have no might, but our eyes are upon you. He's praying for a miracle, in this situation. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, in our time together, would you please direct our attention to your word, and Lord, help us to see how we can as well implement these requests and pray for a miracle. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We travel full-time throughout the school year, if you will, in revival meetings, and we live in a fifth-wheel trailer all the time. We don't have a house. We actually live in a trailer with wheels. I don't understand people that don't live in a house that you can't move. And so we like it, you know, because you don't like your neighbors, you just move. And every week. And so we have a trailer, and we travel around in that. And at one particular time, we're out west. We're in New Mexico. I don't know if you've ever been in New Mexico, but there's a whole bunch of desert, and there's not a lot of people or places. And we were leaving one town, El Paso, and there, and then we're going through New Mexico, and we're getting ready to go over a mountain pass called the Guadalupe Pass. And literally, we're 60 miles from El Paso, nothing in between. No town, nothing. El Paso was the last city there. In front of us, going towards Carlsbad and such in New Mexico, was another town, and it was about 50 miles in front of us. And so we only have a couple more hours on our trip, and so I said, you know what, I'm just going to pull off the side of the road. There's no rest area, there's no truck stop, and there's no place to stop, but I'm just going to pull off, and before we go over the mountain, we haven't stopped in a while, and I'll let the kids out, get in the trailer, get some snacks and things like that, and we'll refresh ourselves, and then we'll get right back on the road. And it was a good highway and a real big wide shoulder, and so I just pulled off. And so we made our stop pretty quick, and then I'm coming out of the trailer, and I'm walking down the three steps. I don't know if this is on or not. I'm walking down the three steps, and as I'm walking down the steps, I'm praying. I turned that down just a hair there. I'm praying, and as I'm praying, I said, "Dear God, help our tires." Now, I normally don't do that. I don't pray for the carburetor and the injectors and the tires and everything like that and transmission. I just pray for safety and that God would help our vehicles. But I pray for our tires for some reason. As I'm going down the steps, I look to the tires of the trailer, and where there's supposed to be three, there's only two. We had a tire blow up, and I didn't even realize it. And so the Lord allowed me to see that and stop to be able to fix this before we went over the mountain pass. I'm so thankful. So I go to our truck. At that time, we were using a pickup truck, and it was just a regular size pickup truck, I guess you'd say. And I went to get the jack to pick up our trailer, and it wasn't going to do it. It didn't do it at all. It could only pick up, I don't know, 3,000, 4,000 pounds or something like that. Our trailer is 21,000 pounds. And so it couldn't pick up a trailer. And so I didn't have another jack. In fact, I didn't have the lug nut wrench to be able to take the tire off, the proper one. I was totally ill-prepared. I know that. I wasn't prepared at all. And so we just said, okay, well, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us, and we'll call somebody. And so I said, you know, I have AAA. So I called AAA. I said, yes, we had a blowout on our vehicle. We need AAA service. She said, oh, okay. Are you safe? Yes, I'm safe. Where are you? I look around. I said, I'm in the middle of the desert. You've heard of the middle of nowhere? I found it. And she said, well, look around and give me an address off of a building. I said, man, I can see no building. 360 degrees. I can turn all the way around. There's no building. I see a mountain. I see desert. I see desert. Mountain. That's it. And she's like, what? And there's no building? How about a store? There's no store, ma'am. How about, isn't there? No. I said, where are you? She said, Memphis, Tennessee. I said, I understand. Well, I'm out in the middle of nowhere in New Mexico, and I have a flat tire, blew out a tire on my trailer. She said, on your what? I said, on my trailer. She said, oh, Mr. Miller, your coverage doesn't cover your trailer. It's just your truck. Oh, boy. So she said, well, I can give you some numbers of places to be able to call. So I called those places. Every single one of those truck places or repair places were busy because there was a snowstorm, and they're busy pulling out the big trucks out of the ditches and all of this, and so no one is available. So now I need somebody to stop with the jack. So we prayed again, and as we prayed again, then I go up to the side of the road and I start waving people to stop. Could you imagine trying to get someone to stop in today's time? 95% of people don't stop, and you're some of them. And so am I. And so I'm trying to get someone to stop. I'm thinking, I look like a crazy guy, you know, that sure doesn't help. And so I couldn't get someone to stop. Finally, this nice little old couple stops. They're in this little bitty four-cylinder car. And I go, do you have a jack? They're not going to have a jack. They can pick up a trailer in their little bitty car. So now I realize I need someone to stop, and I need someone with the proper jack that can pick up a trailer and to be able to do this, and it's getting dark. We have no generator. It's dusk almost, and I'm thinking coyotes, rattlesnakes, I don't know, something's going to come out and eat us. And we pray again, and we try to get someone else to stop. I'm waiting for someone else, and a truck driver stops. I said, that's what I need, a big truck guy, you know, he'll have a big jack. And he stopped, and he said, what's going on? I said, I got a flat, and I don't have a jack to fix it. Do you have a jack with you? He said, no, I don't. So now I need someone again that will stop, and a proper jack. Lord, we need a miracle. I called everybody that good. I was getting ready to call another place, and we had stopped and we're asking God to do this miracle. We said, Lord, we're in your will. We know that. Would you please help us? So I just did a one-arm wave. This guy in a pickup truck pulled off behind a trailer, and I don't even say hi. I don't say thank you for stopping. I just say, do you have a jack? And he didn't say a word. This is great. This is guys. You know, we don't talk very much. And he just grabs the jack from the back of his pickup, and he hands it to me. I don't say thank you. I just grab the jack, and I start heading to the trailer. And then I turn around, and I said, do you have a lug nut wrench? And he said, let me check. And those are the first words he had said, and he got a lug nut wrench and a proper tool, and so we get over to the trailer. I said, okay, here's what we'll do, and I'm going to explain what I'm going to do. I'll do it real fast so I can give you your stuff back, and it's getting dark. And so I have the jack, I have the lug nut wrench. He keeps looking at his watch. I said, I'll hurry, I'll go as fast as I can. He said, I got to get to El Paso. I understand. I said, I'll do that. It won't take but just a couple minutes here. I'll do it as quickly as I can. He said, no, I got to get there now. I'm running. I'm behind. I got to get there. I go, now I have someone that's willing to stop and has the stuff, and he doesn't have the time to stop. I go, no. I said, I'll do it as quickly. He said, no. That's okay. Just take the stuff. It's yours. He gave me a jack, this very nice wrench, and a tool, and the right socket to be able to fit our lug nuts, and then he's gone. I mean, it was so quick. I was like, I think I just saw an angel. A bald one. And he's gone before I can even say thank you properly. And we're jacking up the trailer, and we got the tire on there, and you should have seen us as a family. We were singing praises to God. We were hooping and hollering and saying, Lord, you're so good. We're in your will, and you take care of us. We get to the next place, and we're there, and we see God's blessing. And a few weeks later, I get a tire to replace our spare. So now I'm in the safety of a parking lot at a church. There's no traffic going by. It's easier. I have better boards to run up the other tires on. I use the same jack that gentleman gave me. And that jack would not jack up our trailer. You say, that wasn't a miracle. That just happened. Folks, I believe God provided for us a miracle. When you need a miracle, what do? Have you prayed for one? Here's a few lessons from the life of Jehoshaphat to pray for a miracle. Look, if you would, at, first of all, in verse 12. Even though he had a problem, he was focused on God's presence. Look at verse 12. It says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. Can I put it this way? Number one, he refocused on God's presence. He refocused on God's presence. Instead of focusing just simply on the problem, he refocuses and says, dear God, we need your presence. He said this very clearly. We have no might and we don't know what to do. We have no wisdom. So then there's no might and there's no wisdom. You have to go to God and you have to seek His presence. And God can help you in your situation. He is the one that will hear and help. Look at verse 9. Skip back to verse 9. It says that when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in thy house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then wilt thou hear and help. He says, and your presence. If we have a problem, we come to you and we seek you, and you're going to give us your presence. You know what? When God's presence is there, He will hear and He will help. Do you have anyone that can hear you that's human? They can't help you? Maybe a family member, they love you, they'll listen to your problems, but they can't help you financially, or maybe they can't help you physically, or they can't help you with knowing what to do at your work, or what the next decision is, or knowing God's will for your life. They can hear you, but they can't help you. You know, there's some people that can help you. Bill Gates could probably help you financially, right? But try calling him. He's not going to hear you. You know, Warren Buffett's not going to hear you. They can help, but they're not going to hear you. And here is God. He says, I will hear and help. What is it that's your problem? Don't just focus on the problem, but ask God for His presence to help us. We just came through the Christmas season. My favorite name for the Lord Jesus is Emmanuel. God with us. Isn't that wonderful? And He is always with us. But we recognize His presence, though, in a clear way. He refocused on His presence. But then as He's praying, he's obviously praying for help, for deliverance. And God's presence is key. Okay, now He gets an answer. And what He gets is a promise. Number two, He received a promise. He received a promise. Now this is absolutely important. Get this, it will change your prayer life. Look, if you would, at verse 14. It says, look at just the last part of verse 14. It says, the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Here comes the Holy Spirit in the midst of the congregation through Jehaziel, the prophet. Verse 15 says this, and He said, hearken ye, all Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. I love that. Verse 16, tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Now look at verse 17. Here's the main promise. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them. Look at the last phrase. Let's read it out loud together. At verse 17, the last phrase says, for the Lord will be with you. What did he ask? What did he seek? For God's presence. God says, I'll be with you. You're not going to need to fight in this battle. Why? Because this is not your battle. It's mine. Isn't that an amazing thing? He says, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's like the passage in Exodus where Israel was standing there. The Red Sea is behind them. The Egyptians are coming. And they're told to stand still in the midst of the battle. Here, our faith is put to the test. Whenever we are asking, sometimes we go to God and say, dear God, I don't know what to do. Lord, I don't have any might. I have no wisdom. Lord, I don't know what to do. You go to God and you pray. Okay? But then there's times when God gives you a promise. Now, Jehoshaphat has received a promise. He hasn't got deliverance yet. They're not in the battle yet. It's not done yet. But he's got a promise that God's going to be with him and deliver them. Okay, now, when you have a promise in your prayer life, that takes your prayer life up to the next notch. Okay, now you have something to stand on. What is faith? Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And what is this faith based upon, this substance that we stand on? Under here is a floor, and under the floor is a subfloor. There's that substance that in which we stand. Every time our faith is rock solid upon the promises of God's Word. Now when I go to prayer and I say, "Dear God, you said you would be with me." Now I have a confidence like I didn't have before. Now I have a faith that I didn't have before. This is the basis of our faith. In Luke chapter 1, we're reminded as well of, course, the story of Mary. And the angel had come to her and said, you've found grace with the Lord. And you're the one that's chosen to bear a son. And the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. And she said, "Be it unto me according," do you remember, "according to thy word." It's interesting in that Luke 1 passage, when she says, "according to thy word," there's two different words for word in the Bible. There's first of all the logos. That's a Greek word for the entire word of God. This is entirely the word of God. But she didn't use the word logos. It was used the word rhema. Rhema isn't the entire word of God. It's a specific word given to you. It is a specific word. She said, the angel said, "It's going to happen to you. You're going to bear a son. He'll call his name Jesus. He'll be the Son of God. He'll save his people from their sins." She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Not thy entire word, but what the angel told her. Has God given you promises for your problems? Then you take those promises, and that's your make rhema. That's your specific word that God has given to you, and you trust the Lord for it. I remember when we were praying for a new trailer, the trailer that we have now. And it was a number of years ago, probably, 9, 10 years ago now. And I was really wishy-washy in my prayer. If a verse could describe me, it's the first part of verse 12. I have no might against this great company, neither know what you ought to do. I had no resources to be able to purchase a trailer, and nor did I know what trailer to get. But I was really praying in such a way that I wasn't getting any answer. It wasn't concrete. It wasn't faith. It was hopeful, wishful. "Lord, I hope you do this. Lord, would you do it?" But not really believing myself that God would. That's a lack of faith. And so I said, "Okay, that I can't do that. God, would you help me?" So I spent an afternoon at the church that we're at, and I said, "Lord, I'm just going to go in, get alone, and pray. Would you give me a promise that I can be able to know that you're going to give us a new trailer and provide for us?" And God gave me 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 12. This exact passage. I said, "This is it. And Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't have any might. But my eyes are upon you. And Lord, would you give us a new trailer?" And I just left there receiving a promise and believing that God was going to do it. I'm reminded of Romans chapter 4 and verse 20. After receiving a promise, talking about Abraham, the Bible says, "And being fully persuaded that he was able to perform that which was also given or promised to him." Being fully persuaded upon what he was promised. I finally came fully persuaded upon what God had given to us. God was given to us in a prayer. And when you do so, you have to come full faith. And that's the next lesson. Number one, receive a clear promise. Number one, refocus on God's presence. Number two, he received a clear promise. Number three, he relied only on God's power. He relied only on God's power. Look at verse 18 in our passage here, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 18. "And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face toward the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa." So they're going into the battle. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem." Verse 20, the next word says, "Believe. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established. Believe his prophets. So shall you prosper." And what is he saying? He's saying, believe what you just heard of the promise. When God gives you a promise, come to full faith upon that promise, trusting that God is going to help and deliver you in that promise. So here in my particular situation, I was telling you about praying for the trailer, God gave me that promise. I got up from my knees, and I had a peace that God had heard and answered my request that God was going to provide for us a new trailer that we needed. It was that evening, and we're getting ready for the evening service, and a man comes early, and he starts asking me questions. He's just a man in the church, and he says, hey, how's your trailer? And I said, it has some issues. He said, well, show me. And so he shows me. I show him, and there's stress cracks, and there's cracks in the roof and everything. There's some water damage from that. He goes, oh, that's bad. That needs to get, you need that fixed, replaced. I said, yeah, I know. Then I showed him the inside, and I showed him the beds. He's counting the beds. He goes, 1, 2, 3. Don't you have 4 kids? I said, yes. You need more beds. Like, I didn't realize I didn't have enough beds. For 8 years, Joseph and his younger brother Jonathan slept in the same little bunk bed. It's probably about as wide as this table, communion table right here. And it was one that had his feet at one end, the other foot at the other end. And oh, it was so tight. And he said, you need a new trailer. I said, I know. And I didn't say it out loud, but I was just thinking, I just was praying about that this afternoon. He said, well, whenever you are ready to get a new trailer, let me know, and I would like to help. I didn't know what that meant. But I said, that's not a coincidence. The very day I go get serious about praying for this and ask God for a promise, and then now this happens? I said, Lord, if you're in this, I won't mention this again to this gentleman, but Lord, would you have him mention to me? Well, the next day, he came back. He said, I've been online. I've been looking for trailers. How about these? And he has a list of trailers. You know, what about this? And I said, no, that wouldn't work because of this setup, or that wouldn't work because it wouldn't, you know, it would freeze in the winter. We need 4 seasons. We'll live in it all time, all 4 seasons. And he said, okay, and we'll keep looking and whatever. And, well, it ended up where, as we continued to go, he said, well, I'd like to help towards this. And I'd like to give a matching donation. And it was a sizable donation, very generous. And he said, so whenever someone gives a gift, I'll match that up to a certain amount. And I said, oh, that's tremendous. And so we prayed about it. And said, Lord, we got clearance for that. And sometimes when we're praying for things and we have a need, we don't let people know. But I just need it. If the Lord lets me to have liberty, we'll let people know. And this time, we let people know. And immediately, there's a pastor that gave the next church we're at, and then we went to the next church, and he found out, and he gave that the church there gave, and we're like, wow, this is tremendous, so we go visit a trailer manufacturer, and as we go to visit the trailer manufacturer, we're gonna build the trailer on paper, not a computer program, but paper with a pencil and eraser, so they would build it custom for us, and. If you want a window here, you get a window. If you want an outlet there, you get an outlet. You know, whatever you want, they'll just build it. It's just really good. And so we go through and we spend a couple of days designing the trailer that would fit our needs and everything. And then he gives us the amount. And I'm glad I was sitting down. I would have fainted otherwise. And he gave the amount and I said, oh. I said, well, thank you very much for your time, sir. But we won't be able to get a trailer. That's just way too much. Even with a matching donation and fund, we still don't have that. But we were just going ahead of time to try to get an idea how much it would be and get the ball rolling. And they said, okay, well, let me know if something changes. So I left discouraged. Boy, in the next several weeks, I spent hours praying, taking walks in the woods, getting alone, fasting and praying, crying, asking, Lord, would you please provide for this? There's no way we could pay for it. There's no way we could do this. Lord, we need absolutely, no doubt, a miracle. Would you help us? And time went on, and more people were giving, and now we had the matching donation. And that's tremendous. And we're thrilled about that. And so I went back to the trailer manufacturer several weeks later with a new design, new floor plan. And I was taking certain things off. I said, you know, we could add them later, like an awning that'll come out over the door. Took that off, save some money. Take off a window, literally, I took out a window. I said, we don't need wheels, take off the wheels. No, I didn't do it. So we're taking different things off and we're adjusting the floor plan and the most expensive things that we don't need, and we're getting rid of those. And he said, well, tell me what number you want to get to. And I told him. And he laughed at me out loud, right there in front of me. He laughed at me. He said, you'll never get it down to that number. I said, but I'll go ahead and add it. He said, are we finished? I said, yeah, we're finished. So we went through the plans, taking everything off. He knows the specific number I asked for. And so he has an adding machine, like the old-time adding machine, shoots up the paper, you know, and so he has one of those, and he's adding it up, $27 for an outlet, $35 for this, $110 for that, $300 for that, you know, just adding up. Everything is unique and weird numbers. It's not, there's things that aren't just rounded up or whatever, it's all these different numbers. And then all of a sudden, he presses the enter, the finish, and he spits out the final number. And his mouth drops open. His eyes are real wide. And he said, how did you do that? I said, do what? He said, how did you do that? And he turns the ad machine to see me so I could see it. And to the exact dollar. It was the exact amount that I said we needed to get to. And he said, wow. I said, that was God. He said, whoa. You know, that's great, but we still didn't have the money enough for that one. But we were still short, but I knew this is the number that we needed to get to. So now the matching fund was met. Now we definitely need, Lord, to get above that. Wow. Lord, you're going to have to do that. Little by little, money just kept coming, and people would give, and churches would take special offerings and things like that. We get no regular salary. So whenever we go to a church, we just have an offering. We don't have a meeting, we have an offering. And so it's totally by faith. But the Lord was providing. We were coming down to the where we just needed a few more $1,000. And the thing was going to be, we could pick it up. But we had to have it by this particular deadline. And now we're going, oh no, what do we do? So we're praying, of course, and we know we're going to have to pick it up the next Tuesday, but we still don't have the money, and it's 5 days away. We're tapped out. It's everything. We're asking the Lord to do this miraculous thing that would be paid for. And we had to pay for it before we could go pick it up. And so we're reading through the passage, and we decided to do what this passage says. Not only did Jehoshaphat pray, and then he's getting ready to go into the battle, and he says to the people, believe the Lord, believe in God and his prophets. What does he do next? Do you know the story? Look at 2 Chronicles 20. Look, if you would, at verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed warriors? No, singers. He appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Look at verse 22. And when they had begun to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. In the next few verses, it explains that there was so much spoil, it took them 3 days to go out and gather it all. What was going on? They were going into battle, and the ones that they put at the very front wasn't their best warriors, but it was their singers. When they began to sing, then the battle was won. Was it that because they were such bad singers? No. It's because they were praising the Lord. Now, wait a minute. When do you sing in a battle? Before? No. You sing in a battle after, maybe in the parade, just like they would sing for David and King Saul. Saul had slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. The king would come through the city, and the warriors would parade, and people would wave and cheer, and they'd be singing and praising God. And why? Because the battle's over. Look, folks, when God gives you a promise for your problem, and you ask God, and it's very clear He's spoken to you, then you can sing and give praise ahead of time. Why? Because it's just as good as the battle is already over. God's going to provide for you. But you see, this step of faith is this. Finally, he rejoiced and advanced with praise. He rejoiced and advanced with praise. This is the ultimate faith of saying, "Dear God, we praise you for the battle and that it's already won." They didn't win. Wait a minute. They haven't even started. They haven't done anything. And they start singing. Why? Because they believed God was going to do it. So here we were just 5 days before we're supposed to pick up our trailer. We didn't have the funds. We read this exact story. And we said, let's pray. Let's do something we haven't done before. Let's sing. And we sang praises to God. They sounded fine, I'm sure. There it wasn't the best sounding, but it was full of faith. Saying, "Dear God, we know you're going to provide for us, for our need." We got a call that afternoon. And someone said, "Hey, we're looking forward to seeing you next week at the banquet." And we said, "Well, we'll look forward to seeing you." And they said, that "We're also looking forward to seeing your new trailer." "Yeah, well, we'll look forward to seeing you, but we won't have a trailer," my wife said, "because our situation." She said, "Well, would you have your husband call my husband?" And this dear gentleman had me come in, and he wrote a gift for the remaining amount to be able to pay for our trailer. And when I came in to the unsaved, I don't know if he's saved or not, he says he thinks he is, but the trailer manufacturer, and I gave him the last check, because he kind of knew a little bit that we were struggling, but we needed God to provide for us as a faith-based ministry. And as soon as he got the check, he said, "I knew you'd come through." I said, "I knew God would come through. It was only the Lord." What are you facing? What difficulty? You know, if you can't do anything about it, what you need is a supernatural miracle of God. So would you refocus on your problems and focus upon God's presence? And then ask God for a promise. Receive the promises that He gives you. Base your prayers upon that promise, not upon your desires, but upon His promise. Rely solely upon His power. And then, as you're going forth by faith, going forward, then sing. And then praise Him. Say, "God, I praise you in advance that you're going to provide for me in this area of my life." Is there an area that you need to pray about? Is there a miracle that you need? Would you take that to the Lord tonight? Let's pray. Father, I ask for your help. Would you please give it? Lord, would you work in our hearts and our lives right now and help us to respond to you by faith? With heads bowed, with eyes closed, let me ask you, dear Christian, are you struggling with a problem? Is there a situation where you need to pray to God? Maybe you're here today at night and you say, "Brother Miller, there's a promise I need to claim." Or I need a miracle. And there's something I need to pray about. There's something I need to implement in my prayer life. God's showing me there's something I need in my prayer life, praying for a miracle. God spoke in my heart right now. If that's you, can you raise your hand? That's me throughout the room. Would you raise your hand? Good. God bless you and you and you and you. And God bless you and you. And wow, several. Several. Amen. Well, let's just tell the Lord about that tonight. Let's tell the Lord about that tonight. In just a moment, we'll stand. As soon as we stand, I won't pray anymore, but as soon as we stand, I'm going to ask the pianist to play. Would you step out and by faith, just tell God what you need. Find a place and pray about that. Everyone standing, let's stand right now. If the pianist plays, would you come just right now?